It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running, kinda, on Pi Day, the 14th of March, 314-2024. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that's been going on since 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or a little bit before, while your humble hostess has been struggling to connect to the stream. Oh, some days are diamonds, some days are rocks. And as that great sage and philosopher Charlie Brown says every year, it's the great pumpkin Charlie Brown, I got a rock. I got a rock. Not I want a rock. I got a rock. Hi. I'm Robin. Welcome to the wonderful world of independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting, and thank you for the incantation, Matt, in San Francisco, by the power vested in me via the gay agenda. I command the server to connect. It apparently worked. And thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you so much. Okay, look. Hell, this may take up half the program. What am I talking about? I was in such a good mood. A little sunshine on my freckles is better than any mood stabilizer, any SSRI. I got out in the sun today, and I decided it was time. You know, we've been talking about the ribs having been rubbed. That's a very Latinate construction. By the way, if you'd like to participate in the aforementioned merry, wacky, zany, pop on by. The gang was there. It was slightly larger earlier while everybody was trying to figure out where Tardy Roxanne was. Oh, Darlene in Connecticut. It's Thursday, dear lady. You sound sad. It is Thursday. God only knows. Did I say it's Wednesday or Friday? I'm so blonde I can hardly stand myself right now. Not sad, Darlene. Deeply flustered. Apparently some sort of an update came through last night, and I came in here and saw it and booted the computer up, and everything was groovy. And then I went to access the streaming interface, and somehow or another, because, you know, oh, wow, this is some deep weeds, night baseball, all at once. I run two recordings. I have redundancy going here. The old White Rose streamer records, and then the HeadOn.live streamer records. And somehow or another, the credentials for the White Rose streamer got transposed onto the HeadOn.live streamer. And now anybody who doesn't fool with computers for a living is just putting the swirly straw in the Mexican gasoline bottle. So, That's more or less the issue. But Anatole and Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky are all waiting for you. Moderating duties are, as usual, being handled by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Did I say Friday? I don't know. No, I said Pi Day. Pi Day. Yes, that's exactly what I said. It's Pi Day, 314, 314. No, I didn't say Friday. I didn't say Wednesday. I haven't completely lost my mind. I said Pi Day. So naturally, being an iconoclast, while everybody else has been out getting pizza or pie, I got the aforementioned rubbed ribs out of the fridge, unwrapped them, and took them out and trimmed them. So they'll be nice and uniform in size, and they will cook at an even rate from end to end. And then I built a small fire in the acorn, its first cooking fire.
Aww.
And got some 200-degree coals, got out the grape wood that Cat in Ohio sent. And the thing, okay, let me just explain this. I just need to calm down with a little bit of food porn, and we're all going to be okay. When you buy baby back ribs, you are stealing from yourself. They are more expensive per pound than so-called whole slabs of spare ribs. They therefore have less meat because they have been trimmed. And so you're just kind of getting less rib for more money. So what I did is I took the ribs out, and I got my razor-sharp chef's knife out, and I trimmed them. And if you flip over a slab of ribs, there's actually kind of, it's like a, it is to the pork what a brisket is. It's a little thin, and so you trim that off, you take all that membrane off, I'd already done that part, and then you trim the side, and basically you wind up with what's referred to in the grocery store as St. Louis-style ribs. But you've got some excess that's perfectly edible, absolutely delicious, and makes a beautiful snack. And so that's what I built the fire for. And I set the little trimmings on there. I'll be posting it on social media later because I'm desperate for attention. We all know I love attention. And I put it on the and then you know after they'd smoked over the grape wood coals and everything, I used the eyedropper as I mentioned before, and I put a tiny little bit of Dreamland sauce on them, and they were tender and smoky and oh sweet and wonderful. And. And so I was in a great mood. And then I came in here, as is my habit, came in here about 4:15 to make sure everything was golden until I hit the send button on the streaming interface, and nothing. So that's the story up to now, and it took from about 4:58 p.m. to 5:39 p.m. to actually get all this sorted out. So I beg your, assuming there's anybody still out there, I assume, I beg your humble forgiveness and forbearance. I swear, after over 20 years, I'm pretty good at this. But, you know, the ghost in the machine, y'all, the ghost in the machine. And by the way, Ralphs, thanks for letting me know. Ralphs said thank you to Steve. The chocolates arrived. They're wonderful. The Esther Price chocolates. And the only question Steve had was how were they shipped? Which shipping company? Was it Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, what have you? Ralphs, if you don't mind letting me know. And have you tasted them all yet? We'd love to know your favorite. So that's how we got to this point in this Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'll be okay. Emilio said, you're having the same kind of day I am? I'm miserable today at work because I'm just that useless. No, Emilio, no, honey, you're just that free. And all the people who play in the wonderful world of codes and apps and everything are going, oh, that poor blonde lady, absolutely unequipped to deal with anything. That's not untrue. And on top of it all, I'm... because only in my world, I'm presently being held hostage by a stink bug because it's warmed up a little bit. And the stink bugs are out. And so there's, at present, a stink bug perched on the windscreen of the trusty Electrovoice RE20 microphone that has been in service here for all these over 21 years. Well, in this case, no, that 19 years. And I'm just, I hope I don't scare her. Because if I do, the studio is going to be unbearable. Eventually, she'll probably get disgusted and wander away. But I was halfway tempted to, like, whisper the beginning of the program so as not to upset her and get her to release that, oh, that odor. Yeah. We have some breaking news. It just landed. The Guardian reporting that U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon rejected nitwit Nero's pettifogger's argument that the Presidential Records Act controls or somehow gets him off the hook, and that the law under which he is charged is unconstitutionally vague. Aileen Cannon, who I still think is probably wildly corrupt, said, although the motion raises various arguments warranting serious consideration, the court ultimately determines following lengthy oral argument that resolution of the overall question presented depends too greatly on contested instructional questions about still fluctuating definitions of statutory terms and phrases as charged. Now, the rest of his stupid motions to dismiss remain unruled upon. Theo with a note. You're making me nervous. Hey, has my errant router made illicit whoopee with your server without protection? I'll have a word with the rascal, never fear. I hope not. I hope not. God knows you've been in your own little tech hell, Theo, and I'm sorry about that. Lee in New York, as to food porn, you should talk a little bit about your favorite pie today, too, just saying. Well, I mean, in the realm of pizza, it's probably artichoke hearts over marinara, or, you know, pizza sauce, with mushrooms and dried tomatoes. And, you know, I'm a simple girl, pepperoni, but I love me some artichoke hearts. As to pie, the dessert type pie, I'm definitely a peach pie girl. Peach pie with a bottom crust and a top crust, otherwise it's just soup. Peach soup, but yeah, peach pie with a big whopping hearty scoop of Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And as a consequence, we say thank you to our 14th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you so very kindly to Ralph's and to Matt in San Francisco. Oh, and by the way, Thanks to our kind anonymous internet friend who jumped in last night and met Ralph's challenge from yesterday, the J.K. Rowling Holocaust Denier Challenge, and kept yesterday from being a goose egg. Thank you, kind anonymous internet friend. You know who you are. Thanks, everybody, for helping to keep the program on the air. So that means that the fundraising goal is actually at $1,325. So that's all of this week, and then $125 for last Friday. It would be fantastic, wonderful, glorious, if we could manage to get Friday on the Front Porch, the last one, funded before the next one comes along tomorrow. And maybe knock out Monday. I mean, I realize I'm being ambitious here, but we are at pretty much the middle of the month, and being in the middle of the month, a week behind fundraising is scary because I still have to pay for things like the internet, the stress line, various and sundry things like my health insurance, so that your humble hostess can be in tip-top condition and ready to face the next 40, the next 40? Really, Roxanne? The next 20 years of high-quality, liberal, independent, progressive, non-capitalist, non-commercially oriented, non-driven by the profit motive broadcasting. So there's that. Oh, Steve. That is a spectacular haircut. Steve said, I got a haircut today. I think I look pretty good. Oh, you look past good. You look really good. Steve adding Aileen Cannon. So even Aileen Cannon basically said, even I can't forestall your rapid trip to jail. I heard a clip of Nitwit Nero. Exactly. I'm not corrupt enough to deal with this level of corruption. I heard some clip of Nitwit Nero earlier today talking about how,
well, you know, we were moving, unfortunately, from the White House. And so we had a lot of stuff in boxes, like there was clothes in boxes.
Really? A brass-bound, gold-plated billionaire packs clothes in banker's boxes. Sure. Sure, Jan. Sure. Steve, just for your edification, the Esther Price chocolates shipped via UPS ground. Ralph said, two of the boxes are going to my brother, and I've started the third one. Excellent. I might give one or two boxes to my sister. Well, I'm sure your sister and your brother will enjoy it immensely. And all of those various different flavors seem just yummy. I got to tell you, Steve, that that salt and pepper you got going on for you, it works. Dude, that works. All right, so I cleansed my palate with and those little morsels with the Dreamland barbecue sauce on them, the eyedropper falls of Dreamland. When I do, it's gonna rain tomorrow. So when I do up the ribs on Saturday, they're gonna be magic. And by the way, Cynthia is working on. Is working on her corned beef for St. Patrick's Day, and she said, "I've modified my sous vide plan. Yesterday, the sun came out and stuff really started blooming, nice. Except that the wind picked up and is blowing all this pollen around, and of course my allergies went through the roof. Continuous sneezing, runny nose, watery eyes. You know, the works." The bottom line was that instead of my plan to get up during the night to check the water level in the sous vide pot, I ended up taking a Zyrtec as a means to deal with my allergies, which meant I was going to also sleep soundly through the night. So I took the corned beef out of the pot at 12:30 a.m., 6 hours into the cooking, and put it into the refrigerator while I slept, and as expected, I slept soundly through the night. The corned beef is now back in the pot for the rest of the planned 12 hours of cooking. It's nice that the sous vide machine saved the timing, starting where I left off, and I didn't have to reset it. My corned beef will be ready in about 2 hours into the show. I can't wait. Oh, I hope it's as yummy as it sounds like it's going to be. And that's so cool that the machine will just hang on to the time and temperature and you can just pick up where you left off. I love that. I think I'm developing a real fascination and a love affair with this sous vide business. There's a lot of potential there. And so you should be, let's see, 2 hours, and so that's, about four, perfect for dinner time at about 4 o'clock. Cynthia, I will do everything in my power not to ruin dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. We will tread lightly on this thorn in the side Thursday. As to the Presidential Records Act, Lee in New York said, I would have expected Judge Cannon to determine that Nitwit Nero flushing documents after chewing them and clogging the plumbing is completely what was intended as proper, unless Congress explicitly states otherwise. Oh, dear God. The Colorado ballot case is already rearing its ugly head, Lee. I had a note after it turned out that I was not starting the program on time. And I got to tell you, I've about had it with those little munchkins. Yes, I have. You're late. I see now why your earlier teachers commented incorrigible. Those elves are so prescient. You tell those little munchkins. If they don't get a little less mouthy, I'm going to sick a felba on them and send out the flying monkeys. We know where they live. Nice tree you got going there, boys. Don't fuck with me, fellas. Stephen sent a note earlier. Trial delays. Why are courts bowing to Trump's whining? Best answer I have is the one I've had all along, and that is they are taking, this is such a novel thing, this is so unheard of, that a former president would be so crooked that he'd wind up getting himself indicted. And every judge and every lawyer and most people and a lot of people who just sat around watching, you know, Matlock and old Perry Mason reruns realize that the Supreme Court's going to weigh in on this, and there's no sense in starting a trial if there's even the remote possibility, and the possibility does exist, I don't know how remotely, that all of this may be quashed. So that's, you know, that's the closest thing I have to an answer in that regard. Really, you little munchkins, stop tormenting your humble osis. Bankers Boxes, Steve in New York, says, As an extremely wealthy person,
I always pack my extremely expensive clothing with my stolen classified documents in fucking banker boxes, because I'm an extremely wealthy person who shouldn't have to pay his bills, because I'm extremely wealthy.
Logic and geometric precision there. Yep. Of course, they thought they had me with the strawberries. I caught them with the strawberries. There was an extra key. Oh, not you too, Flavio. Why was the program not on time again? I tuned in on the hour and half hour and looked desperately for an explanation on Facebook, head on, Twitter. There'll be hell to pay with the Keebler elves. They only think there's hell to pay. They've never really seen me pissed off. I personally think the elves, the Keebler elves, probably were the ones who created all the havoc and mayhem in the first place that kept this program from coming being on air on time. And I was ready to go. just as a means of trying to enhance their bullshit legal claims. Little bastards. Next, they're going to want a piece of the Alabama sex clams action. Well, you're not going to get it, boys. You're not going to get it. Meanwhile, this from Reverbo, the human man out in Colorado. From my experience, the stink bug suffers from an unfortunate reputation. I've always found them to be, in very small numbers, amusing companion pests. Although winged, they're not good flyers. Their landings resemble humorous crashes into a wall and a smooth taxi down the runway. I guess I've never agitated one enough to release its bombardier beetle-like odor, unless you find you have 400 of them behind the bathroom mirror. It's not even, I try not to scare them. I try to live peaceably with my six-legged neighbors. But if you accidentally step on one, it's game over. And just leave the room for a while. They are, to tell you the truth, there's one now, and I didn't mess with her. I just let her crawl around. She apparently enjoyed what little warmth comes off the ring light, and she would fly about for a while, and then, well, I looked up one day, and she was hanging from a couple of the hairs on one of my wigs with her. She was on her back, hanging, with her poor little legs stuck up in the air because she had shuffled off this mortal coil. And I haven't had the courage or the heart to remove her. It's not like I'm leaving her there as a warning to other stink bugs. But it's just so pathetic. Steve adds, extremely wealthy man. I forgot to include the sacred pronouncement from the prophet Todd, peace be upon him. He ain't gonna make it. Let's all say amen. So Flavio says, I'll have to wait for you to upload the program to get an explanation when I diligently tuned in on the hour and a half hour and got no show. You started listening at the beginning of the program. I mean, the program started at 5:39 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, which is 4:39 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Yeah, you've got just about all of it. I mean, stream wouldn't stream. Couldn't connect. It was maddening. There was chaos reigned supreme here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It did. It truly did. But it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we are going to take a run at doing some, you know, serious professional radio. I've had my little on-air conniption. I'm all better now. Who am I trying to kid? Reverbo says, just pick her up gently. Don't squish the stink out of her. Open the door and flick her out. Job done and no problem for you or the little life form. Well, it's too late for the one that's hanging from my wig. She's definitely... Well, she's a Norwegian blue stink bug. She's singing with the bleeding choir eternal. She is no more. She is an ex-stink bug. Jesus, Matt! Oh my God, I've been scotted. Matt in San Francisco writes, if I had a dollar for every time I've been stuck on my back with my wig on and my legs in the air. Matt. Truly, I am merely a vessel for the goddess of irony. I can't help myself. It happens like it's just, I have no control. So, well, a girl can hope, okay? There's got to be somebody out there on one of these damn dating apps. Obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Lee in New York. If they could spend an hour to determine that Data has the rights of a sentient being, Star Trek Next Generation, The Measure of a Man, it should not take months, years to decide that a president cannot commit any crime. Data is not a toaster, but an indicted idiot should not be a candidate. Well, the only way from... Listen, I mean, it's just Merca, Lee. That much of a precedent has already been set. Eugene V. Debs was sitting in a prison cell when he ran for president as the nominee of the Socialist Party of America. And when you think about people like Warren Gamaliel Harding or Calvin Coolidge, Eugene V. Debs might very well have made a far better president. So at least we've got our Star Trek, our obligatory Star Trek reference out of the way, and those. Those little monsters it can take the rest of the program off now. Well, that's probably grammatically correct, Irish Dave. If my memory serves, a dead stink bug is called a stank bug because past tense and shit. Yes. A little bit of information here and there. That another man with geometric logic and geometric precision and logic, Mullah Moses Mike Johnson. Bless his heart. He was right here in almost level West Baikal Manchinistan. He was at the Greenbrier on the Republican retreat that he couldn't get anybody to attend, or a whole bunch of maggots decided not to go to. But being as how he's Moses and everything, he was feeling prophetic and whatnot. And he kicked off the House GOP's annual retreat here in Almost Level and said that, had a press conference where he said that when the new Congress comes in, they'll probably change that rule where marginal trailer queen gets to keep every incoming speaker's testicles in an old mayonnaise jar in the back of her fridge next to her pint jars of pee-pee that she drinks to keep from catching the Rona. Yeah, Mullah Moses Mike said the motion to vacate is something that comes up a lot amongst members in discussion. I expect there will probably be a change to that as well. But just so you know, I've never advocated for that. I'm not one who's making it into this issue because I don't think it's one for now. I just think it's something that a lot of members on both sides of the aisle talk about openly, that they have a desire for a more normal process on the House floor again. So we'll be looking at that on the House rules package in our respective carcass and conference packages, as well as going to the new Congress. And that's just something we should do in due course, be good stewards of the institution. I guess Mullah Moses wants us everybody to forget that the previous rules didn't allow things like a one-person motion to vacate the speaker. But that it only came in as a condition of employment when that man of boundless ego and extremely bounded abilities and, you know, brains, Craven McCarthy, he of the spine of Silly Putty, acceded to it in order to finally break past the 15th ballot and get the business of government back underway. You get the idea. Mullah Moses wants to be speaker some more. I have a feeling that if the Democrats can retake the House, hang on to the Senate, but if the Democrats can retake the House, there will probably be a palace coup. And as far as the Republicans are concerned, Mullah Moses, Mike Johnson's name might as well be Romanov. And, you know, pay a visit to a little basement somewhere. Yeah, I love it. We need a more normal process on the House floor again. And it's not normal. Why? I mean, where the Republican carcass is concerned, truly, in the words of the late, great Peter Godbold, normal is only a setting on a dryer. Really and for true. So we're going to have to back up just a little bit for this one. It's getting a little hot between President Biden and Psycho Bibi, qu'est-ce que c'est? President Biden has said, and of course it will never be enough to satisfy certain elements, but he wants a ceasefire, and he wants the slaughter in Gaza to fucking stop. That business about building the pier and supplying Gaza from the sea was a shot directly across Psycho Bibi's bow. And Bibi decided to be pissy back. Because, among other things, a senior Israeli official, that's all the press release, all the statement said, was that those who elect the prime minister of Israel are the citizens of Israel and no one else. Israel's not a vassal state of the U.S., but an independent and democratic country whose citizens are the ones who elect the government. We expect our friends to act to overthrow the terror regime of Hamas and not the elected government in Israel. Huh, look at the tail wag the dog. It's getting a little bit annoying, isn't it? It's getting a lot infuriating. This little bit of nothing country acting like it can shove the United States around just because it has for the last 75 years. I think we're getting quite close to a significant reminder to Bibi Netanyahu that we can turn off the spigot as easily as we turn it on. See, Bibi showed up Tuesday at an AIPAC conference and said he won't cave to external pressure not to go on an operation in Rafah and slaughter a whole bunch more innocent Palestinians.
There are people who will make you believe that there is the Prime Minister of Israel and the people of Israel. The truth is, the people of Israel support my policy.
Well, see, that's the thing. Bibi wouldn't be able to enact these policies if it weren't for the fascists who live in the illegal settlements. They are by far, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, the most genocidal and repugnant of all of the Israeli people. They're sitting on stolen land. The settlements were built illegally and in contravention of every last iota of international law. And they're the same fascist assholes who send people like Beelzebub Smotrich and that shitbird Ben Gavir to office and allow the fascists to become a significant portion of Psycho Bibi's cabinet. So that was Tuesday. And Bibi said his red line is that Israel must go into Rafah, while President Biden had said his red line is Israeli military slaughters in Rafah. And I feel bad for President Biden, because he's going to piss off somebody. I mean, he's already got all the maggots convinced that he's either a doddering old fool or an evil genius Dark Brandon. And now within his own party, he's got people grunting and barking at him. On the one side, from Muslim Americans, particularly Palestinian Americans, who think that he should announce a full-throated support for Palestinians over the Israelis, and say that they want to withhold their vote from him to teach him a lesson. And it's like, oh, you dum-dums. You think your life is going to be better under a second Trump presidency? Motherfucker has said he is going to exact his retribution. It ain't just going to be the queers he exacts it on, y'all. It's going to be marginalized communities like Palestinians and the Muslims generally. And then you got the hardcore Israel Uber Allahs crowd. And if President Biden does anything but go up and tonsil wrestle with Bibi, well, they won't be happy. So today, a thing happened on the floor of the Senate of the United States of America. It was a big deal, because the first Jewish Senate majority leader in the history of the United States took to the podium and stood up to the fascist punk-ass bastards running the government of Israel. Now, even on his best day, Chuck Schumer is never going to be hailed as an orator of mighty persuasive power. No. But he said some powerful things today, and he gets my applause for the courage that he showed. Because it was real courage to stand up to the Israel lobby from the floor of the Senate of the United States. And, you know, it was kind of one of those only Nixon can go to China moments. Oh, and over the weekend, of course, there was that hot mic, or not over the weekend, but at the State of the Union a week ago tonight, there was that hot mic moment where Biden was talking to someone and said of Bibi, yeah, I told him we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Whew! Golly Moses. Come. You're going to. You told. He is Dark Brandon. He is badass. He told the prime minister of the Jewish ethnostate that they were going to sit down and come to Jesus. Only Biden. Only Biden. And now he's displaying the courage to make it stick. Politico noting today that with his remarks, Schumer has showed that the gloves are off. And I hope so. Darlene in Connecticut in agreement with me. Yes, quite impressive. Rock on, Chuck. It was pretty profound. I watched it live and just like, damn, is this really happening? He actually called, and you know, a little reminder to Bibi, I mean, this will never happen, but the last time we called for regime change, well, Saddam Hussein wound up dangling at the end of the rope doing the Spandau Ballet. Not that we'd ever attack a country that hadn't attacked us or anything, but it's like, you know, Bibi, you're not nearly as powerful as you think you are. Not by a long shot. And again, he wouldn't have the power he has were it not for the fascists in the settlements. Who, let's make clear, are bad people. The Israelis who are living on stolen land in occupied Palestine are bad people. Not because they're Jewish. Not because they're Israeli. They are bad people because they are fascists. And they are genocidalists. And they have homicidal impulses and murderous, bloody urges. And I think Chuck Schumer knows that.
Fourth major obstacle to peace is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
Now, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure there's a press release being crafted at AIPAC Central Headquarters excoriating Chuck Schumer as a self-hating Jew, when in fact he's an American who is sick of watching blood run from the river to the sea. But that's that really is a big deal. On the other hand, Moscow Mitch McConnell. It got his dudgeon up to defend Psycho Bibi and the slaughter of Palestinian babies and mamas. Because, well, that's who Moscow Mitch is. And ever has been. And ever will be. And he wasn't the only one. No, there was a dispatch from here in West Virginia as well. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's check in with Moscow Mitch, shall we?
Call for the removal of a democratically elected leader of Israel. This is unprecedented. We should not treat fellow democracies this way at all. Things that upset left-wing activists are not a prime minister's policies. There is Israel's policies. Make no mistake, the Democratic Party doesn't have an anti-Bibi problem. It has an anti-Israel problem.
Why, in sack of shit? Because he is. Yeah, maybe it is unprecedented, but it's also unprecedented for one of our, well, for our partner in peace. To be able to engage in genocide and do it on our fucking dime. Mullah Moses Mike down there at the Greenbrier said... And he probably had plenty of time on his hands anyway, considering the number of people who didn't show up. He said that,
what Schumer said is not only highly inappropriate, it's just plain wrong for an American leader to play such a divisive role in Israeli politics while our closest ally in the region is in an existential battle.
Shitbird! There is an existential battle going on, and it ain't in Israel. It's in Ukraine. And you, Mullah Moses Mike, are on the side of Vladimir fucking Putin and Mother Russia. So, you know, Mullah Moses Mike, sit the fuck down. Because bear in mind, Chuck Schumer has carried water for Bibi Netanyahu for a long damn time. It was back in 2015 when Chuck Schumer opposed the Obama administration's nuclear deal with Iran, to a deal which, by the way, was made to try to save Israel, who, by the way, is a nuclear power but won't admit it, and has never signed off on a promise not to use nuclear weapons in a first strike. Those are just facts. But in 2015, Schumer said there were four obstacles to peace in the region: Hamas, radical right-wing Israelis in government and society, Netanyahu and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. He told Abbas to sit the fuck down, too. For there to be any hope of peace in the future, Abbas must step down and be replaced by a new generation of Palestinian leaders who will work towards attaining peace with a Jewish state. Schumer fairly ran to Israel in the aftermath of October the 7th. But he also said, we should not be forced into a position of unequivocally supporting the actions of an Israeli government that includes bigots who reject the idea of a Palestinian state. Oh, he was... Chuck was pissed. Nobody expects Prime Minister Netanyahu to do the things that must be done to break the cycle of violence, preserve Israel's credibility on the world stage, and work towards a two-state solution. And every word of that was true. Because Psycho Bibi is in the midst of a genocidal frenzy. Senators like Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii said it was gutsy and historic. Senator Peter Welch of Vermont walked up to Schumer and actually hugged him after Schumer closed his remarks. But of course, it's never enough. And, well, there's a Jewish group called If Not Now, and they said Schumer didn't say enough. They said Schumer needs to call for a lasting ceasefire, reverse course on weapons transfers, and push for Israel to dismantle its systems of occupation and apartheid over Palestinians. Schumer was trying. He said, I'm anguished that the Israeli war campaign has killed so many innocent Palestinians. You know, Chuck, you could have used the phrase tens of thousands of Palestinian women and children. He said, I know that my fellow Jewish Americans feel the same anguish when they see the images of dead and starving children and destroyed homes. We must be better than our enemies, lest we become them. He's right. And the next step in this is to simply tell Israel, empty the illegal settlements, permit, live alongside a cohesive, contiguous Palestinian state, or the spigot gets turned off. Not another fucking dime. Not another bomb. Okay, maybe let them keep their Iron Dome system. That's a defensive system, not an offensive one. Let them have that, but not another damn thing. No jets, no bombs, no missiles. Not a bullet. Because Israel has pushed the United States to that point. And Palestinian Americans are Americans. Muslim Americans are Americans. And they don't take a back seat to other Americans. We are either a country that praises equality and enshrines it in our very nature, or we are not. And if we are not, we are through. Oh, what was it? He was mayor of Chicago for a while, and he was Obama's chief of staff. What was it his daddy said when he got the chief of staff job? He was bragging on his boy, and he said, he's chief of staff to the president of the United States. He's not like he's some fucking Arab scrubbing the floors. Those attitudes need to die. Those attitudes need to be buried along with the dead past. Notions of Israeli superiority have no more place in a civilized world than does any other form of supremacist behavior. Flavio says Biden versus Bibi. When Moscow Mitch is loudly complaining, you know Biden is doing the right thing. Egg damn Zachly. Now it turns out that Chuck Schumer had actually given Rahm Emanuel. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Ralphs. Serving as the my son isn't scrubbing the floors in the White House like some damned Arab research department. Thank you both. Tried to forget that sorry bastard, but somehow I managed not to. Wasn't he the same asshole who referred to progressives as retards? I feel confident about that. Yeah. Meanwhile, notes from Dave and the Blind. Subject line, do we cheat him and how? Might I suggest my favorite appellate law firm to take up the case against the Keebler Syndicate?
Oh, the Keebler Syndicate.
Remember, Mr. Keebler, known as the boss, has been known to sling cookies for quite a while. One of his customers is one Mr. Sea Monster of Sesame Street. That's Sea Monster. Sea, period, Monster. Of Sesame Street, who once stated about Mr. Keebler, him not my friend, him my dealer. Signed your friend, Dave the Blind. Take that, you little bastards. Oh, God, that was quality, Dave. It seems to me, Roxanne, Dave adds, Netanyahu has a gun. Seems to me, Roxanne, Prime Minister Netanyahu is just daring anyone to say boo to him. He considers himself a good fascist, and no fascist does not have to be against Jews. Jews can be fascists. Witness, well, Beelzebub Ben-Gavir and what's-his-fuck, Beelzebub Smotrich and what's-his-fuck Ben-Gavir. After all, Steve Mnuchin wants to buy TikTok and transfer it from the Chinese Communist Party to the American Nazi Party. And let's not forget that Chuck Schumer has his faults, God knows, but it seems that when somebody speaks the truth in the United States Senate, the first people that are butthurt are members of Congress on the Republican side. If you dainty fucks want to be in the Senate, then run for it. Your buddy Dave and the Blind, P.S. BB's not a good fascist because he's still living in the only good... The only good fascist is one that's 6 feet under. Take that, you little bastards. That's right, Irish Dave pointing out Rahm Emanuel, veteran of the IDF. Stephen New York saying, we need to place Zionism on the trash heap of history containing all forms of bigotry and racism, as we do with all such ideologies. Impulses toward empire, fascisms of any stripe, racisms of any stripe. Rahm Emanuel, Lee reminds us, Obama said that when Rahm Emanuel lost his middle finger, he was nearly rendered mute. That's good. Amelia says, but Robin, the Israelis are God's chosen people. How can they not feel superior in the face of their obvious superiority? Flavio reminds us that Rahm Emanuel also sat on the footage of the murder of Laquan McDonald, who was walking away in a hail of bullets for more than a year. Fuck him. Not a nice man, Rahm Emanuel. And I'm sure that he's right there, you know, Israel uber alles. The uncommitted primary voters, Darlene in Connecticut observes, had impact. If anyone can break the inside the beltway's costly for U.S. taxpayers' blindness with Israel, it's Joe Biden. And I'm going to, well, I'm not keeping my counsel here. But I'm gonna do everything in my power and hope for all I'm worth that Joe Biden gets a second term, and maybe in that second term, finally, the United States of America can get free of our bloody-fisted love affair with that fascist regime, that apartheid regime. If they ever choose to be a good citizen of the world, no one will be happier than I. But they are not right now. And Israeli citizens elected the government that's committing the genocide. And it was the votes of the monsters who live on stolen land in settlements in the occupied territories who are a driving force in the creation of that government. And remember, Beelzebub Smotrich and what's-his-fuck Ben-Gavir are both criminals. It's funny how that always winds up being the run of the mill with fascists. Criminals gravitate to them. I mean, out in Enid, Oklahoma, right now, there's a campaign on to replace a member of the city council. The guy was at Charlottesville, Virginia, at the Unite the Right rally, had his very own tiki torches as they marched around in Charlottesville screaming, "Jews will not replace us." And the good people of Enid, Oklahoma, elected him to the city council by a margin of 36 votes. Not 3,600. 36 votes. So there's a recall on. Because the guy is genuinely a filthy Nazi. He's posted under an assumed name that has been traced back to him. Posted white supremacist, racist messaging. And it's an open question whether that good Republican city and that good Republican state will reject white supremacy, will reject fascism. Oh, and since we are in Oklahoma, I mean, the point being that there can be fascists who hate Jews and there can be Jewish fascists who hate Muslims, Palestinians, Arabs, Persians. And right now they're in control of that country. Back to those uncommitted primary voters, Darlene. I read that, yeah. Let's cross our fingers, Darlene, and hope. And hope that he will come up with the right message. But anyway, like I said, since we were in Oklahoma now, let's follow up on something. During my conversation yesterday with Haley in Arkansas, I shared the news that came out yesterday that the Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office had determined that Nex Benedict died by his own hand, by a combination of an over-the-counter drug and one requiring a prescription. And I said at the time it was fishy. And by today, well, it's not just fishy anymore. It smells like a mackerel that's been left out in the Oklahoma summer sun for about a week. Don't ask me how the mackerel got to Oklahoma. Logistics are a thing. Because it turns out, y'all, how about this? The Office of the Oklahoma Medical Examiner lost its accreditation in 2009. From 2009 to 2024, it has never gotten that accreditation back. What they released yesterday was just a slime piece. It was one page. And they have 10 days now, the medical examiner's office, to release the full autopsy report. That's 10 days to fix the facts around the policy. If, in fact, Nex Benedict did kill himself. He used he, they pronouns. And in death, I want to honor him. If that is in fact what happened, well, one, there's a question to be answered insofar as people with profound head injuries can make bad decisions. It's happened on more than one occasion that professional football players at the end of their careers with numerous closed head injuries have gone off and killed themselves. Then there's the issue of the bullying. The bullying that was actually an official policy of the state of Oklahomistan, propelled by the actual governor of the state, Stitt, the superintendent of education of the state, Ryan Walters. And the Republican majorities in both houses of the Oklahoma legislature. They all had a hand in beating Nex Benedict's head against the hard, hard floor of that bathroom, that girl's bathroom, in which he had no business but was forced to use. Yeah. All those people had a handful of his hair banging it into that hard, hard floor. And the blood is on their hands. And President Biden is doing, I give credit where credit is due. President Biden is doing the right thing. He issued a statement today and offered up the sympathy, the heartfelt sympathy, both of him and the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden. And as usual, he got the tone exactly right. Jill and I are heartbroken by the recent loss of Nex Benedict. Every young person deserves to have the fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported at school and in their communities. Nex Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be here with us today. Meanwhile, officials in Oklahoma still cannot use his correct pronouns, even in death. But it's no surprise, because that's how these people are. On the day that the murderers of a little trans girl named Brianna Gay were sentenced in an English court, the Prime Minister of England, one an odious creature named Rishi Sunak, made a joke about the child in Parliament while Brianna Gay's mother looked on. Just today, the National Review, the home and clearing, original home and clearinghouse of American white supremacy, published an editorial titled "Britain Rejects the Sinister Fiction of the Transgender Child." In which the National Review lauded the British choice to further torment trans kids by denying them access to puberty blockers. The the National Review, this goddamn goose-stepping camp, said, when counseled appropriately, i.e. not lied to, that they can change sex, most grow out of these feelings by the end of puberty. The reasons for this distress can be complex and multifaceted. In recent years, the huge and unprecedented surge in teenage girls with no prior history of gender confusion suggests social contagion as a likely factor. Sickening. Just sickening. So, people like Rishi Sunak and the gender critters in England and all over the sceptred realm and the transmesiac bigots here in the United States want more necks Benedicts. I love that line. The reasons for this distress can be complex and multifaceted. But of course, it's not gender dysphoria. It's social contagion. Fuck them. Forever. With a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. Over at the Trevor Project, Peggy Rodschke said, we are deeply heartbroken to learn that Nex Benedict died by suicide after enduring extreme bullying and attacks at their school. See, she knows how to use pronouns. The entire right-wing, godforsaken state of Oklahoma doesn't. While this horrific loss has seized national attention, we know that, tragically, it is not uncommon. LGBTQ plus young people are more than four times more likely to die by suicide than their peers, not because there's any predisposition in their identity, but because of the tremendous stressors, rejection, and antagonism that many of them face in society. She continued, Nex's death is a tragic reminder that we all have a role to play in reducing and eventually eradicating LGBTQ plus youth suicide. Research by the Trevor Project shows that having at least one accepting adult in an LGBTQ plus young person's life significantly lowers their likelihood of attempting suicide. Whether a teacher, caregiver, neighbor, or friend, supporting young people living in their truth is an affirming and life-saving act of allyship. And sadly, Nex Benedict proves that in his death. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation warned about oversimplifying Nex's story. And said that bullying and discrimination play a profound role in creating the circumstances in which Nex Benedict not so much committed it, but was hounded into it, was driven to it. Such tragedies, the advocate writes, cannot be disentangled from the environment that fosters them. They're right. They're right. Exactly. Emilio says people with traumatic brain injury sometimes become suicidal. Contagion asks Matt in San Francisco, so transness is like a hairstyle trend? Or the low-rise gene thing? How can someone be so stupid? Well, okay, stupidity plays a part, Matt. But it is stupidity weaponized by hate. I mean, as someone who lived through the 80s in the gay community, Matt, and I hope I'm not being triggering, into the 90s, you've heard it all. You've heard all the smears, all the slurs, all the slanders. You've seen all the libels that gay people recruit. Remember when the word was recruiting? Recruit young people to the gay lifestyle. Jesus, scrapbooking is a lifestyle. How you love and who you love is just life. Stupidity commingled with hate and with evil. That's how you wind up with the circumstances that killed Next Benedict as surely as if Brian Stitt, the governor of Oklahoma, had gone and used a gun to blow out Nex's brains. And there is still not even so much as a scintilla urus of indication, of evidence, that anything was done to the monsters who beat Nex to his death. Flavio says, cruelty, Next Benedict. How many times part of the bullying includes exhortations to the victim to go off themselves? Yeah. It's kind of the point. Isn't it, Flavio? Oh, some other stuff. I'm sure you're aware that yesterday some of the counts in the Fulton County case were dismissed. Not all of them, but some of them. Well, the early journalism about it suggested that, well, it didn't suggest, it didn't say whether the counts that were dismissed with or without prejudice, and that matters. Apparently they were dismissed without prejudice, which means whatever the fault in the indictment was, Fonnie Willis will probably re-indict because she's a badass. During the classified documents hearing today, just to give us a sense of what shitbirds these pettifoggers are, Nitwit Nero whispered into his pettifogger's ear during the hearing. CNN reported on it. He whispered into the ear of Todd Blanche, whose career, before he decided to flush it down the toilet, was as a white-collar defense attorney. He's also pettifogging for Nitwit Nero in the Stormy Daniels hush money case. More on that in a moment. CNN said that Todd Blanche, quote, would often chuckle or smile as he listened to the former president. Caitlin Pollance at CNN said Trump appeared to grow impatient by 3 p.m. Thirty-seven counts in Florida, just for those who are trying to keep track. I know it gets difficult. Yeah, so I said more on Alvin Bragg. Well, Alvin Bragg today asked for a 30-day delay, a 30-day continuance in the Stormy Daniels hush money trial and cover-up trial. He made the request in a response he filed to the motion to dismiss filed by Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers. Along the way, he also said, although the people are prepared to proceed to trial on March 25th, we do not oppose an adjournment in an abundance of caution and to ensure that defendant has sufficient time to review the new materials. We therefore notify the court that we do not oppose a brief adjournment not to exceed 30 days, notwithstanding the people's compliance with all of our obligations under Article 245. Article 245 being a reference to something in the New York Code. We note that the timing of the current production of additional materials from the U.S. Attorney's Office is a function of defendant's own delay, though. And then, because then, always, there's something else from the counsel for the parking garage. Alina Habana. The woman who said she would rather be pretty than smart and got her wish declared only criminals need immunity. What? She said, number one, do I think it's going to go ahead? Well, really, it shouldn't. We have an immunity defense that's currently up on the Supreme Court. It's going to be made, a decision, and should be stayed until all those decisions are made, number one, and we'll see what happens there. The only problem is everything having to do with the hush money case is before Nitwit Nero became president. There's no immunity for that, Alina. And so the immunity cases, immunity defenses, are, and I know this is a complicated word, but maybe you heard it somewhere along the way, Alina, when you were having your 3-year cup of coffee and the Draw Spunky School of Law. Yeah. Relevance. Immunity is not relevant to things that happened before he became president. One person said, she thinks immunity covers everything Trump's done since he was hatched. Immunity defense won't help here, sweetheart. Why would Trump need immunity? Someone else asked. That's right. He's guilty. Only crooks plead the fifth. Only criminals need immunity. I think I'm going to spare us from the indignity of listening to her prattle. Jude, thank you so much. What a beautiful photo of Mount Rainier. Or Jude's front yard. Back behind a school. Jude said, Mount Rainier is a constant reminder to be present to the moment at hand, as she is always changing. Never want to have lost a moment as she displays her steely beauty. Oh, she looks like, yeah, she looks platinum. I didn't understand when I was a child, but there was one of those furniture gallery portraits that middle-class homes often had. And it hung on our living room wall. And it was a painting of Mount Rainier. And I remember being little and saying, what's that? And my mama just said, that's a place in Washington called Mount Rainier. And offered no further commentary. And it took me years to realize that that was on there because my father hung it there. Because it was a reminder of a place that he loved all the way to the core of his being. And he fell in love with Washington during the time that his aircraft carrier was in port in Bremerton. So thanks for reminding me of that sweet memory, Jude. Thank you so much. Flavio says, I feel better about that dismissal in Georgia. I understood what Judge McAfee did and why. The three counts were dismissed without prejudice and because of the Georgia law requirements. I should probably wait until some competent reporter like Martin Joseph Stern gets around to reporting on it before reacting. Sorry. No worries. No worries. You don't want to try a defective indictment. It would be better to dismiss it without prejudice, let the prosecutor cure the fault, and then come back with a clean indictment, try it, burn them to the ground, and then watch the thing withstand appeal. I don't necessarily know what to think about appeal in Georgia because, well, we're talking about Georgia State Court. And it's probably, well, it's like that old saying, it's maggots all the way down. But yeah, Flavio, not everything is a function of some level of corruption. Back to Nex for a minute. Matt in San Francisco, subject line suicide. I tried to OD when I was 16. Got the charcoal to make you throw up at the ER and everything. I've seen that stuff used, not in that situation. Berg was little, and one of my father's he had all these pills because he'd had open heart surgery and all of that. And I mean, he just kept him around because he lived by himself. And then we were down there. And you really couldn't turn your back on Ferg. And I noticed that his tongue was blue. And then I noticed that that was the same color as one of my father's heart medications. Maybe it was a blood pressure medication. I can't remember. But I freaked out, and Annette freaked out, and I took Ferg to the ER, and he got the charcoal, and he yacked, and then we noticed when we got back to the house that the packets of NutraSweet, which are blue, were askew. And what he'd done was he had eaten some entire packets of NutraSweet, and that's what dyed his tongue blue, the packaging. We felt dumb, but we still had a live son, so it's just as well. It's all you can do. But anyway, so Matt says, got the charcoal to make you throw up at the ER and everything. These people are just evil fuckers. That constant drumbeat to make people believe they shouldn't be here. They know what they're doing. I'd say shame on them, but shame is something they know nothing about. No, they only feel shame at the existence of people with whom they disagree, with whose lives they disagree. And even I at this stage of my life, know more about that than I wish I did. Thank you, Matt. You know what? I'm so glad you got the charcoal. I'm so glad. Because you're dear to me, and you're dear to this community. Very dear. So-called democracy. Ron in Raleigh. Oh, by the way, you know, granted, we've got a 40-minute late start. But if there's something on your mind you'd like to talk, feel free. The stress line's open. 844-843-4676. For those of you who don't have it, you know, tattooed on the back of your neck or anything. 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. Skype comes in to Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And the other number, 304-574-8178. They all come into the same place. Yeah, Matt says, me too. You know, there's so much truth in that simple statement that has made the rounds in these last decades. It gets better. And it does. And it comes with being oneself. Whatever self that one happens to be. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that, you know, I got to... No. Never got around to doing it, but I have. Well, let's not go into the details. I'm glad to be here too, Matt. Again, back to Ron and Raleigh. And by the way, we are about, 42 minutes away from a goose egg. We are at $1,325 behind. $125 finishes off last Friday. It'd be great if we could do that before tomorrow comes along. Yes. That's good. That's good praxis. Brother Deacon Asa says, in regard to what kept the program from starting on time, always, always, always be sure to do an extra reboot after each update. That's canon law, damn it. I will treat it. Well, Brother Deacon Asa, I'm going to have a come-to-Jesus moment over it. Now, Ron and Raleigh. So-called democracy. Some time ago, there was a video on YouTube which has been scrubbed. I've seen that. Has it been scrubbed? Well, thank God it's in the archives here. It's in one of the programs. Bibi was speaking in Hebrew, giving a speech to some Israelis in their home. The line from the speech that stuck in my head was when Bibi said, America's a thing that I can handle. And so far, that's been the truth. The mainstream press has bought into Israeli propaganda. The story about systematic rape on October 7th was fabricated. The author of this story was a former IDF member. Ryan Grimm and Jeremy Scahill have thoroughly debunked that bullshit story. 40 babies were not beheaded. Babies were not baked in ovens or any of the other lies. I've heard many commentators repeat Israel's lies. I've noticed that no outlet has published the death toll of Palestinians in the West Bank perpetrated by settlers. Over 100 Palestinian journalists have been murdered by IDF snipers. Israel does not allow non-Jewish reporters into Gaza to do some actual reporting. Israel is a rogue state on which there are no restraints on their behavior. Chuck Schumer can talk all the shit he wants, however, nothing will change. Mark Regev, the mouthpiece that MSNBC fired Mehdi Hassan over, made Christiane Amanpour throw her hands up in frustration over his lies. He claimed there are no Palestinians starving in Gaza. The lie that Hamas are stealing the food aid. They claim videos show what they say, are Hamas fighters riding on top of relief trucks. My question is, if the IDF is taking videos, why aren't they shooting them? This is the kind of obvious lie that Hamas is stealing food when, in fact, Israel is inspecting every truck and sending back trucks if they don't like a single item on the truck. On a tangent, I remember when in 2017, when Jeremy Corbyn was being rat-fucked over being an anti-Semite, since then the Labor Party has been taken over by pro-Israel members with ties to the Israeli embassy. YouTube has a series of videos showing the operatives and how they sheep-dipped Jeremy Corbyn. Republicans are liars, and so are Israelis. Bibi will continue the murdering with impunity because no one will do a damn thing about it. May I suggest videos by Owen Jones, Max Bartholomew, Ilhan Pop, and, of course, Norm Finkelstein. The truth is out there. We just don't want to hear it. Signed, Ron in Raleigh. Well, the minute I heard about the beheaded babies, my spidey sense tingled mightily because it just was a little too close to the babies thrown out of incubators, out of the multi-story, whatever, neonatal intensive care unit of the hospital in Kuwait City all those years ago. That was a lie, too. The April Glaspie memo. Disinformation is a devil. Thanks, Ron. Now, we need some good news, don't we? Well, I just happen to have it. Representing Mad at Just Gates Worse has heard the magic words, those two magic words, you're served. And who served the subpoena? Or who caused the subpoena to be served? We don't know who the process server was. But the person causing the service of the subpoena upon Matt at Just Gates Worse was the woman that he has been accused of having fucked when she was a minor. The woman's now in her 20s. She was 17 at the time. It's all part of a lawsuit that a lobbyist named Chris Dorworth, who is a crony of Matt It Just Gates Worse's, he filed it. As defamation and racketeering against the 20-year-old young woman. But there's a problem with filing defamation suits, at least in the United States. You know, we've asked on a number of occasions, Nitwit Nero, these are all lies, where is the lawsuit? And then we say, well, there's not going to be one, because truth is an absolute defense. And so the lawyer who issued the subpoena is actually the young woman's defense lawyer. The subpoena and the deposition for it is slated for the 5th day of April. And John Clune is one of the young woman's lawyers, and he said, yeah, we served him. See, it does Just Gates Worse because back last month, a guy named Fritz Scheller, S-C-H-E-L-L-E-R, who represents another of Gates' former cronies, Joel Greenberg, who's doing time in the stir. Well, Joel Greenberg said he gave the Congressional Ethics Committee, the House Ethics Committee, documents that support his, Greenberg's, claim that he actually watched Matt Gaetz fuck the underage girl. Wonder if he snorted some rails of Viagra and chugged a Red Bull after. I said, Greenberg's cooling his heels. Yeah, he's doing 11 years hard time for a raft of charges, not the least of which is sex trafficking of an underage girl. Gee, Matt Gaetz. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Breaking news via CNN. This is actually kind of a big deal. A jury in Michigan has issued a guilty verdict for James Crumbly. They found him guilty of 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. The maximum penalty for all 4 is 15 years in prison. If they are served concurrently. And it's a big deal because it's a test of whether parents who negligently maintain firearms in their home can be held criminally liable when their kid decides to take it to school and start wasting his classmates. I say his because their kid was a boy, Ethan Crumbly. And probably north of 99% of school shooters, if it isn't 100%, it's not. But north of 99% of school shooters, I would speculate, are boys. And so this groundbreaking conviction hopefully will be a deterrent to gun-humper parents who just want to leave their freedom protectors, their Second Amendment remedies, laying around, or let their adolescent boys know where they are. Prosecutors said James Crumbly, and by the way, Mrs. Crumbly has already been convicted on the same charges. They were jointly criminally liable for the slaughter that took place at that high school. Prosecutors argued yesterday that James Crumbly was grossly negligent for, among other reasons, having purchased a Sig Sauer 9mm pistol for their homicidal little maniac of a son. Oakland County, Michigan prosecuting attorney Karen McDonald said James Crumbly is not on trial for what his son did. James Crumbly is on trial for what he did and what he didn't do. The pettifogger for Crumbly said,
you heard no testimony and you saw no evidence that James had any knowledge that his son was a danger to anyone.
That self-same Sig Sauer 9mm pistol, Ethan Crumbly, at the tender age of 15, used it to murder 4 students and maim 6 others. The prosecution said that they bought him a gun even as they were ignoring indicia that their son Ethan's mental health was not great. Ethan Crumbly will be doing life in prison without parole. He didn't go to trial. He pled out. He pled guilty to terrorism that caused death. He pled guilty to 4 counts of murder and 19 other related charges. He did not testify at his parents' trial. Lawyers said that he would assert his Fifth Amendment rights, so, oh well. James Crumbly chose not to testify. But the prosecution talked about his personal life, his interests, and the fact that the pistol was grossly negligently stored. And previous statements from James Crumbly indicated that he bought the pistol on, ironically, Black Friday, and that he hid it in a case in his armoire and hid the bullets somewhere else under some jeans. Ethan wrote in his journal before he became a household name and a murderer, and said, "I'll have to find where my dad hid my 9mm before I can shoot the school." Every firearm comes with a cable lock that disables the pistol from being used. It comes with a nice little hard plastic case. The cable lock had never been removed from its little plastic Ziploc packaging. And that's usually the case for the vast majority of gun purchasers. They actually had a gun safe at Shea Crumbly. And in the gun safe was a .22 caliber Derringer and a .22 caliber Kel-Tec pistol. But the Crumblies had never even done so much as to change the combination. The combination on the gun safe was the default combination that comes with it when you buy it. 000. It was April 2021 when Ethan Crumbly was texting with a friend and said he was hearing voices and kept seeing someone in the far distance. He said, "I actually asked my dad to take me to the doctor yesterday, but he just gave me some pills and told me to suck it up." The pettifogger said, "Well, James had no idea his son was having a hard time." Goodbye, Mother and Father Crumbly. No amount of prison time can ever change what you did. Thank you. Jude says, "A goose egg presents in different forms, sending supportive funds for those precious mama geese who protect and nurture their goose eggs." Yeah, goose eggs are great for geese, Jude. Not so much for keeping a little independent broadcast effort afloat. So thank you for making sure that we're not a goose egg tonight, this afternoon, this evening, whatever you want to call it, whenever you're listening to the podcast. And that would mean we are down to 1305. $105 in the next 25 minutes means we're finally fully funded for last week. We're fully funded for last Friday on the front porch. Thank you, Jude. And, well, toward knocking down that $105, I've got this in the stack. I don't know if we're going to get to it. But Ralph says, "Here's my $25 matching challenge for I'm glad Aaron Rodgers is not a Green Bay Packer." lately for his anti-Sandy Hook theory. Oh, he's such an asshole. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And the lawyer for the Sandy Hook families absolutely opened a can of whoop-ass on Aaron Rodgers on social media. One of the greatest sports writers and social commenters in this country, Dave Zirin over at The Nation, put up a thread earlier that said, "We all know that Aaron Rodgers is a clown. Thing is, Stephen King showed us how dangerous a clown can be." And so it was that attorney Mark Bankston posted an open letter to Aaron Rodgers over the course of 12 tweets. He said, "Hey, Aaron, not sure if you'll see this, but I figure the best chance is to put it here on Twitter, where it'll hopefully be sandwiched between a tweet claiming the measles vaccine makes children gay and an ad for cryptocurrency scams. To start, I can't say it really surprised me to see you had been spreading nonsense about Sandy Hook, because although I have not followed your sports career closely, I am quite aware that you are a slow-witted, gullible person. Sadly, I'd have to live under a rock not to notice the frequency in which the media reports on whatever screwball propaganda you most recently swallowed like a hungry trout confronted with a shiny lure. Jesus! I'm here for this. Being a poor schmuck who latches onto claptrap maybe isn't the biggest sin in this day and age, but I can't fathom how on earth you manufactured the confidence to think you have something useful to offer to any of these discussions. You're a dumb jock. God apparently gave you many talents, but critical thinking is not one of them." He said, "But what I learned today, that you were one of those freaks telling reporters and God knows who else that the Sandy Hook parents were liars and actors, crosses a line you can't come back from. You know, when a lawyer who's already gotten $1 billion judgment against Alex Jones says that, pay attention, Aaron. It means you can't be trusted with important decisions. Omaha, Omaha. It means nobody benefits from listening to you. It means you're broken in a fundamental way. It means you're weak and you're desperate to believe what a grifter will happily sell you. It means you're not a leader and will never be one. You're not cut out to be an influencer, a role model, or even an amusing iconoclast. Because you're not eccentric. You're defective. And that's not a funny joke. Could you please shut the fuck up?" Wow. Yeah, Flavio says, "The fuck is wrong with this dude? He's been busy checking every box. The poor New York Jets. What did they do to deserve this?" You really want to know? They're the Jets. This is... Getting Aaron Rodgers was peak J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And after... and to think... Yeah, he's still got a job, while meanwhile a guy who knelt for the national anthem can't even get a fucking tryout. Beats the dickens out of me. But this has gotten bad enough that the NFL may have to take action. And I hope they do. Lee in New York says, "Aaron Rodgers from electoralvote.com, in addition to the fact that the former Green Bay Packer and current New York Jet is wholly unqualified for the vice presidency, he also has a day job that will require his attention at the height of the campaign cycle. The Jets will play their first game of the NFL season on September 8th, though maybe Rodgers can get permission to skip out once the team is no longer in contention. In that case, he'll be available." Oh, this is brutal. "On September 9th. Oh, Cynthia, thank you so much for meeting the I'm so glad Aaron Rodgers isn't a Green Bay Packer anymore challenge. Thank you, Cynthia. Cynthia noting a moment ago, just tried the corned beef, and it was tender. Mind you, this is a cheap, flat-cut brisket that I wouldn't expect to have been this tender if I'd just boiled it or something. Being a cheap cut, it didn't have quite the flavor I expected, but, oh, that Lowenzenf Bavarian-style mustard was fantastic and fabulous beyond belief. My God, I could just eat that mustard by the spoonful all by itself. Oh, we are sisters, aren't we? We are. Because I do that. It was just the thing to go with that corned beef. I'm looking forward to doing this again with a better cut, and I will be buying more of that mustard. Yum. Gino, thank you. Gino said, Aaron Rodgers challenge. I'll meet that $25 challenge, and just to show my utter disdain for that scum, I'll up it and match the next $275 in donations. Please, please, Horn Family Community Congregation, make me pay out $300, and please show our community that you stand with decent humans against a despicable wacko. Gino, I'm almost speechless. Thank you so much. And he is a despicable wacko. And you know, the people that he has taken with him. Oh, what's his name? He's big. I mean, the whole manosphere watches this one guy, and I kind of liked him once upon a time too. He's a former Mountaineer punter. Come on, I've seen him on ESPN and the like, and he started with a podcast, got a radio show, now he's on TV. And Aaron Rodgers would show up and say wacky ass shit, and guess what? His credibility's in the toilet too. How about that? So we got 19 minutes to meet a fantastic $275 challenge that will not only finish off last Friday, but knock out this Monday and this Tuesday if we can just do it. And I can gleefully pay the internet bill. Ralph says, I'm speechless too. Sometimes speechlessness is a good thing. Unless you're waiting on the stress line, in which case, thank you for being patient. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
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 Yeah, hello.
Yeah, this is Gary from New Mexico.
Yeah, hey, Gary.
How you doing?
I'm getting along, I think.
I guess something interesting, kind of a first time thing, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Okay.
Trump, the girl who took over, she married to one of his sons.
Oh, Lara.
She took over.
Yeah.
Okay. Since she took over, okay, which was, I'm not sure if it was like Monday or something.
Yeah, it's within the last week.
The next day, okay, the next day I received two text messages from the Trump campaign. Today I received two more. Okay, my phone number, okay, is very minimally distributed.
Yes.
I mean, I could probably count the number of folks that have my phone number on both my hands. Family and a few friends. That's it. And so I was wondering, well, how the fuck did they get my phone number to send me text messages?
Right.
And, I guess that's my question is what your thoughts would be on how they may have gotten my phone number. Because unless they're doing a massive call thing and just sending text messages at random to random numbers, you know, I can't figure out how they would get my phone number. So it would either have to come out of the database of the DNC or my Democratic Party here in New Mexico.
There's other possibilities. I mean, I'm not being a bitch here. You don't have your own private cell tower system, so your provider could have sold it. Because they do that. They've been caught. They've been caught doing that. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they'll all do it. Because everything is every extra penny is a little boost to the share price.
So my provider would sell it to whom? Anybody?
Yeah, you got the money. They got the time and the numbers.
Yeah. It's interesting. But what's also interesting is with the way they are framing a couple of the requests, and I didn't go to any of their links. But each text message had a different phone number associated with it. So all four of these texts had four different
phone numbers. Those are very likely phished phone numbers. In a commercial context, it's supposed to be illegal. Texting from an artificially generated phone number. But the problem is, even with there are rules for telemarketers. Okay, telemarketers can't call you after 8 p.m. or before 8 a.m. And there's a no-call list. You know, I've worked telemarketing and I've heard "take me off your list" so many times I can't count. But none of that applies to politics because political speech is the most protected of all speech. And so they get away with it.
I guess in the back of my mind, I was wondering if somehow they hacked the DNC or they hacked somebody here in the state, hacked the state.
Committee. Now, I would strongly surmise that that's not the case, Gary, because you know it's that old thing about once you've eliminated all the impossibles, the simplest answer is most often the correct one. And the simplest answer is they bought it from your provider, because you know. As you said, there aren't that many people who have your number.
Very, very few.
Right. You know. But the one entity that has all of our numbers is your phone carrier.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that you know kind of you know raised a red flag or got my hackles up is they're asking me if I'm going to vote for Trump. You know, and I'm thinking, well, why? You know, you're running a campaign, so you know the story about, you know, phone calls or text messages. You know, I mean, you got several, you got just, you know, three types. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of types of calls, you know, persuasion, get out the vote, what have you. And I'm thinking, you know, if they're sending this to the maggots, you know what I mean? They're going to be begging for money, you know? I didn't go to any of the links, so I don't know. I figured I went to any of the links in the text message, they would probably be asking me for money, you know?
Oh, sure. But the other thing they're also doing, Gary, is they're push polling. This is data that only they will have, and seeing as how they're the RNC, and they've always been liars, and in this case, they're even bigger liars because they're captive to Trump, they'll say, well, you know, we've reached out to this many millions of Americans, and anybody foolish enough to say, yeah, I'm for Trump, well, they'll say, you know, we have millions of Americans, and Joe Biden doesn't have a chance, you know, that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, well, it's today one of the text messages was from Trump. Save the Trump Towers or something like that.
Oh, Jesus,
crazy,
really?
Democrats are trying to steal my property. Crazy Democrats or thieving Democrats or whatever. I can't get back to it on my phone while I'm talking to you. I'm just not that tech savvy, but there's something along that line. You know, go to blah, blah, blah. And
right.
The second one was, didn't you get Laura's message?
sure.
Blah, blah, blah. Was, so she's asking me in the first text message, are you going to vote for Trump? You know, go here, let us know. So I didn't let him know, but he sent me another text today saying,
friend,
you know, we missed your answer. You know, did you tell us, you know, answer the question Laura asked you, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they're
very short.
Yeah. Let me help here a little bit. What they've done is they've hired a telemarketing firm who has the technology to send these things out by their millions. For instance, Lou in PA just messaged during your conversation, said, I had my first ever Trump today. I texted back, stop. And Lou says, I also received the Save Trump Tower text. Now, Lou is in Pennsylvania. You are in New Mexico. That gives you an idea of the breadth and scope of this operation.
I'm glad these people, you know, communicated in and mentioned that, because that was where I was going to go with that too, you know, because I was trying to make a determination, you know what I mean? So I could call our state chairman, you know, and say, hey, you know, can you double check your database and make sure, you know, you didn't get hacked or something? Because I got, I have never ever received a Republican call or text message or email ever, you know, you know, this is the first time, and it coincided with this Trump takeover. You know, what's her name? Lara. Lara? What's her name?
Lara. L-A-R-A. Lara.
Lara. Okay. When supposedly she, you know, moved over to, the RNC. And so I figure, well, you know, when you got natural born thieves, you know, well, I don't want to call her, but certainly, I know she's married. Is it Don or the other one? Whichever. You know what
she's
I mean?
Married,
some of that.
Yeah, she's married to Eric the Dumber.
But the thievery rubs off, you know?
Sure.
I'm sure, you know, all of that, but, But anyway, yeah, they're saying, you know, save the Trump Tower or something along that line. You know, kind of, you know, goofy message, and are you going to vote for Donald Trump? Which kind of tells me it may be just beyond, you know, some random list that exists out there that has my phone on it, whether it was sold by my provider or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the content, it's they know I'm a Democrat, right? So they
right.
wouldn't. They wouldn't. Is what I'm thinking. And how the fuck do they know I'm a Democrat? So it's not just about the phone number. You know what I'm saying here? It's the fact that I get a sense of these messages that they know I'm a Democrat, so they're trying to do this, you know, I wouldn't call it persuasion contact. You know what I mean? It's a little more, you know, there's a little more subterfuge to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's the sense that I'm getting.
Well,
bear
in mind, Gary, Flavio just said even the state of Wisconsin was once caught selling phone numbers. And this is important. I don't know who your carrier is. Well, I'd be kind of curious because Lou and PA's gotten these things and you've gotten them. So that means that's either one or two carriers that are selling phone numbers.
I have track phone.
Okay, but oh my God, they sell that at Walmart. Walmart will sell your number in a minute. Or just about any other retail outlet that sells track phone. But Flavio says a lot of times your carrier will sell your number to telemarketers unless you opt out. But, and this is the important part from a consumer standpoint, you have to opt out.
Uh-huh. Well, I have an account. I do it all online. I don't go to Walmart or nothing like that.
Well, yeah, so TrackPhone themselves are the ones selling your number, and you need to contact their customer support and say, I want to opt out of having my number and my data sold.
Yeah, left the barn.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you can preempt any more sales. And the other thing you might consider doing, the other thing you might consider doing, Gary, is because you live in a somewhat civilized state, you might consider reaching out to your Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division. Because if you've got a proactive Attorney General who is not a maggot, then they've probably got lawyers who live for this shit.
Well, I don't know. Well, what are they going to do?
They can bring a consumer protection action against the carrier.
Yeah, but I don't have. They would be able to investigate and make that determination.
Because if it's happening to you, it's happening to others. By the way, Lou said, I'm with Verizon. So Verizon's doing it. TrackPhone's doing it. Mm-hmm. But this is the important part, Gary, because I kind of got to wrap up here. But Lou says, after I texted stop back to these numbers, I didn't get a second text.
Yeah. On these texts, they say, text stop to stop at the end of the message.
Yeah.
But like I say, I didn't go to any of the links, of the message. I just, I read the message and I deleted the first two. I still got the second two. So the second two were sort of, how come you didn't answer Laura? You're going to vote for Trump. And then this one about save Trump Tower,
Yeah, so text back stop, just, and they probably legally have to quit at that point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not, I don't give a shit about them sending it, because I just delete them. I was reticent to even open them,
Yeah.
I was just going to delete them from the get-go, but I said, well, let me take a look at these, because I did notice they all have different numbers as they come, you know, but all four of them at this point that have that I've received. But, you know, my concern was, or is, you know what I mean? Are these folks hacking into databases?
No, no.
The party databases?
No. This is just plain old, pure, garden variety, all-American capitalism.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it seems, yeah, it's, yeah. Now, it's curious. I'm with T-Mobile. I have not received one. Or maybe they just assume that everybody in West Virginia is going to vote for Trump and they don't have to spend the money on it.
Well, Verizon and TracFone are essentially the same right now. Verizon took, I think they bought out TracFone.
Okay, well, hold on here. I'm getting some conflicting information. Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan, all-around great guy, just messaged me and said, you never want to text stop back to an anonymous text. It could be a phishing text, and that tells the other end that there's a human responding, and the junk text will multiply.
Well, I didn't. I didn't do that. I didn't want. Yeah, I know that.
So, yeah.
So,
but you can call your carrier. Flavio says I got Trump messages and I have Tello. I just ignore them and delete them.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably be doing. But I'm still going to call our party chair.
Okay.
And talk to them. And,
well, I mean, their database has not been hacked.
You never know with these fucking, this fucking Trump crowd. Are you kidding me? I mean, these some bitches, you know, if they can.
But the thing is, you know, it's not, but Gary, it is not the Trump crowd per se. It is someone willing to take the Trump crowd's money. And it's not their only client. I feel a statistically relevant high degree of certainty on this one.
That's why I called you.
Yeah. Well, it's awfully good to hear from you, Gary. It's awfully good to hear from you. I hope you're well.
Yeah.
We had a little warm weather today here, and it absolutely boosted my spirits. So.
We just missed the snow.
Yeah, poor Colorado. Colorado got
hammered. Yeah, it stayed north. I thought it was going to slide down, but we haven't had much snow this year at all.
Nor us. We had one good snow, and that was it. And depending on the jurisdiction, of course, Roger in Oregon adds, one's voter registration information is public knowledge. Yeah, so they
said what now?
Roger in Oregon said one's voter registration information is public knowledge. Or, well, in many states, it's public record.
That includes phone numbers?
If you give it to them.
Yeah, I don't know if I have my phone number on my registration or not. I don't think they do. I don't think I've ever given.
But at any rate, I do have to get out of here. But it's awfully good hearing from you. You take care.
You too. Congratulations on your candidacy, and good luck on your candidacy.
Thank you. The paperwork's driving me bananas, and if I can just get that taken care of, maybe I can raise some funds and buy some signs.
Yeah, I wish I could send you some, but I'm going into the poorhouse.
I understand. I understand. I really, truly do. Well, Gary, take care, my friend.
Okay.
And follow up and let us know how this all plays out.
I will. I'm going to call my county chair first and see what his thoughts are. You know, because I'm in a Republican county. We've got a Republican county clerk, you know.
Right.
You know, I just don't trust any of them to not do shady shit. You know, if they think it's going to help their cause. But, okay, Robin, take care.
All right, you too, Gary. Bye. Steve in New York says, subject line, Nimrata Haley. I've been getting text messages asking me to support her. Lee in New York says, I have T-Mobile, and I was not asked to save Trump Tower or buy the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah, you can. I highly recommend refusing to do either of those. Randy Radar adds, data brokers reign supreme. They automatically mine your actual conversations for phrases, so if you voice an internet interest in gardening, you will find gardening advertisements soon on all your devices and so forth. Many sort the population into about 1,000 or more buckets with names such as Savvy Singles or Soccer Moms and so forth. I don't know if I'm a savvy single. But all of that having been said, it's time to get out of here. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Let me check in here. Thank you, Kevin, in Massachusetts. We are down from 275 to 225 on Gino. Gino's challenge, the... what did Gino say here? Let me check real quick. Aaron Rodgers. The Aaron Rodgers is a despicable wacko challenge. It's really big. If we so there's 225 to go on that, and that would that doubling challenge. My goodness gracious. If that's met, that'll knock us down from 1,300 to 7, and actually a little lower, and we won't have a four-digit fundraising hole tomorrow. So, fingers crossed, y'all. Thank you, Gino. Thank you so much. And I hope this is the end of Gino I hope this is the end of Aaron Rodgers' miserable career. And thank you, Ron and Raleigh. The guy I was thinking of was Pat McAfee. And, well, he's been trying to run away from Aaron Rodgers for a while now. He was actually paying, if I recall the story correctly, he was actually paying Aaron Rodgers to come on the show and say wackadoodle things. It's damn... Emilio, I'm the one sending the Trump Tower texts. I've raised $200,000 today alone. Shh. Shh. Emilio, ixnay. On the ending say, the ump tray, our tay, ex tay. People don't need to know that we're trying to reinstall the Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool here at the mansion, damn it. So, again, thanks, everybody. Thanks for being patient with me, even though I was 39 minutes late. I will henceforward be a better, you know, the people who work in IT, I learned this from Peter Godbold a long time ago, PEBCAC, problem exists between keyboard and chairs. Peter used to say, you know, computers would be so much fun if we didn't have to deal with users. Truth. I'll do better. I'll try to do better, and I'll be right here for Friday on the front porch tomorrow. And, Cynthia, I am so glad that the corned beef turned out so well. Cynthia added, I'm embarrassed and ashamed that Aaron Rodgers went to Cal. I expect better of anyone coming out of Cal. I don't expect them to be perfect, but I do expect them not to be dumb shits.
Oh, Cynthia, I hate to paint with a broad brush, but all too often, a jock is a jock is a jock. A dumb jock is a dumb jock is a dumb jock is a dumb jock. Non-dumb jocks are more the exception than the rule. It's interesting. I forget the name of the test that they have at the NFL combines when they're checking, you know, potential draftees, speed in the 40, that kind of things, how much they can bench press, all that guy stuff. And Wunderlich. It's called the Wunderlich assessment. And it's a test that potential NFL draftees take to see, you know, how smart them are. And without fail, the highest tests on the Wunderlich assessment do not come from the quarterbacks or the tailbacks or the wideouts. The smartest people on an NFL playing field are, wait for it, the linemen. Because they have to know everything that's going on. So, yeah, he went to Cal, but I'm pretty sure he didn't major in astrophysics and take classes like Advanced Light, like Forrest Gump did. Anyway, thanks for sticking around putting up with me being late, everybody. Remember, Gino's Aaron Rodgers is a despicable whack job challenge is out there if anybody wants to help out with. If there's ever been a challenge, and there have been, but, oh, this one's for the ages. Thank you, Gino. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our challenge makers, our challenge respondents. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks for the help there, Steve and Georgistan. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Thank you. And further information about what Gary was talking about, they don't know he's a Democrat. It's a scattershot. You don't even need to buy the phone number from the carrier. There are commercial aggregators that sell your phone, location data, and every other damn thing they can siphon up. You're right. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for that. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a like, leave a comment, a positive comment, a review, something like that, talking about how gosh darn star-spangled awesome this program is, because it is! Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you have it already. This is a very smart community. I'm pretty sure we all have, but I have to say it anyway. Tell your friends and neighbors, that kind of thing. You get your flu shot, even though it's March. And, you know, beware the Ides of March, for they be tomorrow. And 2,068 years ago, right now, Gaius Julius Caesar and his buddies were lounging on sofas having dinner, and the symposium question for that evening, 2,068 years ago, was, what is the best way to die? And Caesar answered, anything as long as it be quick. Or so we're told. The following day, it would not be quick. Wear your masks everywhere around the maggots, because God knows they are their very own disease vector. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can.
And if counsel for the parking garage comes towards you saying, well, like, you know, we've got an immunity claim. He's, but President Trump is immune from this hush money case. What a dipshit. Avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.